From KLW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Pinole, California.
Santa Clara.
I'm from Fremont.
Pacifica, California.
Pleasanton.
Oh. From Vallejo.
Me from Antioch.
Coming up, a tour of Oakland from student reporters at Mills College.
And a lot of the West Oakland community is unbanked. That's why, you know, part of the reason that we opened.
From credit unions and women's health clinics.
We're providing alternative medicine treatments to support women through radiation, chemo, and surgery to deal with the side effects of cancer treatment.
To yoga studios and donut shops.
I am the strongest chess player at Colonial Donuts, and I'm an alcoholic. Have a great time and a great night.
Okay, we will have a great time on Cross Currents. Stay with us. Today's entire show is produced by students at Mills College in Oakland. Their assignment was to explore the city and bring back stories that take you to corners around the bay you otherwise might not visit. Our first story takes us to a women's health clinic in downtown Oakland. The Bay Area has some of the highest rates of breast cancer in the United States. For anyone, the side effects of cancer treatment are incredibly harsh. Chemotherapy can leave a patient in intense pain or cause nausea, fatigue, and loss of appetite. But if you're low income and have no health insurance, it's more likely that you can't afford some of the treatments to deal with those side effects. At the Charlotte Maxwell Clinic in downtown Oakland, staff members and volunteers believe that the best medicine for women with cancer doesn't always have to come in a bottle. Reporter Maddie Fowler has our story.
Hi, it's Catherine Mills again. I'm on my way up.
Okay, sounds good.
Catherine Mills is on her way to what she likes to call her spa.
And I'm on my way up to my favorite place to get my treatment for today.
Catherine's favorite place is also known as the Charlotte Maxwell Clinic. It's a nonprofit that provides free complementary medicine to low-income women with cancer.
I just can't wait to talk to the herbalist about improving my herbs.
This is not like the hospital where Catherine spends many of her weekdays receiving chemotherapy for ovarian cancer. The idea at this clinic is to support women while they receive traditional cancer treatment. It's called an integrative approach, combining holistic medicine with traditional Western medicine.
They're going to have one-on-one sessions for 50 minutes with an acupuncturist or massage therapist. That's unheard of when you're going through cancer treatment at the county facility.
That's Krista Alderson, the executive director of Charlotte Maxwell.
We're providing alternative medicine treatments to support women through radiation, chemo, and surgery to deal with the side effects of cancer treatment.
Alderson says most of the women here are referred from county hospitals.
We also have a free food pantry. We have exercise classes and yoga classes.
And Chinese herbs, homeopathy, therapeutic imagery.
They're getting one-on-one, hands-on care. It's very stress-reducing. What our clients report is that after they get diagnosed with cancer, people stop touching them. Their families are afraid to touch them, and they don't often get touched in a therapeutic way at the hospital.
So Charlotte Maxwell makes sure women get that extra healing touch. Again, here's Catherine Mills.
I receive acupuncture. I receive Reiki. I receive, you name it, whatever they offer, I get.
Patient Catherine Mills is 55 years old and has been coming here since she was diagnosed with breast, ovarian, and thyroid cancer.
They immediately got me in, and I don't know what I would do without them. I mean, coming here is very, very supportive for me. The treatments they offer, the, you know, the care, I mean, the love that they give us, it's awesome.
Mills says it has really lifted her spirits, which were in the dumps after she lost her job along with her health care, something she has in common with many of the women at the clinic.
Well, the women that we serve have always been isolated by poverty and disease, coming from communities that lack resources, that might be fragmented by poverty or by crime.
Director Alderson says that 70% of the women at the clinic are living at the federal poverty line or below it.
65% of the women we serve have advanced cancers. Now, why is that? It has to be something to do with the fact that they don't have access to care. They lack resources.
The clinic itself has experienced a lack of resources since the economic downturn.
We get funded from private foundations and from private donors. It used to be that the majority of our funding came through foundations, but with the recession and the competition for funds, that is no longer true. The majority of our funding is now starting to come from our donor base.
And yet, the number of new clients has doubled each year since the recession. Alderson says when government institutions fail, people turn to nonprofits for support.
It is possible for our communities to take care of one another and each other when other systems, you know, government systems are falling apart.
And Charlotte Maxwell has done just that. When it opened in 1991, the clinic had just 10 clients. Now they serve 750 women, all with volunteers.
I'm blessed to have Charlotte Maxwell in my life, and, you know, whatever I can help them with, I'm there for them.
Catherine Mills is one of those 750 women. Even though she suffers from multiple cancers and a complicated diagnosis, at Charlotte Maxwell, she has a place of refuge. For Cross Currents, I'm Madeline Fowler.
Maddie Fowler is a student reporter at Mills College in Oakland, where today's show was produced. You can find all of our stories at our website. It's klw.org. This is Cross Currents from KLW News. I'm Holly Kernan. Today, there are many reasons to distrust the banking system. High fees, impersonal service, required minimum balances, and the 2008 economic crash, to name a few. And in some neighborhoods, banks are hard to even find. Missouri Colley profiles one credit union in West Oakland that's been around for a decade now, trying to serve people who otherwise have few options.
I'm entering the main room of the People's Credit Union, across the street from West Oakland BART. It's about the size of a modest living room. A few bank tellers are behind the thick plexiglass. A big sign on the sidewall announces 4,000 members in green lettering. This is where I meet Selah Eisner-Mix, the Community Programs Coordinator of People's Credit Union. She's about to begin a credit report review, her third one today.
Just fill out this top part here.
Okay.
And just check your photo ID.
Okay.
And this is the first time that we're doing your credit report review here.
The credit report review is just one of the many services People's offers to its members. It also offers financial workshops that are open to all of Oakland. Eisner-Mix says People's services are especially critical in West Oakland, where it is the only institution of its kind.
And a lot of the West Oakland community is unbanked. That's why, you know, part of the reason that we opened.
And can you explain what unbanked means?
Sure. It just means that you currently don't have a savings or checking account at a financial institution. You could have had one in the past, but currently you don't have one.
Unbanked. It's the phrase advocates use to describe people who don't use checking or savings accounts. People who are unbanked may rely on check cashing centers, which are open late and on the weekends, and charge set fees for cashing checks and pay advances. They're easy to find and accessible. There's even one across the street from People's.
When they're unbanked, a lot of the time they're coming because they've had an account at a big bank or somewhere else, and they got behind because of fees, and so they were forced to close their account, and they were put on what's called check systems. It's basically like having bad credit through the banking system.
Eisner-Mix says big banks typically mark customers who have trouble paying off their debts. That can mean being late on a loan payment or that you overdraft too many times. You basically get blacklisted. No other bank will do business with you, and it'll be that way for 5 years. But Eisner-Mix says People's Credit Union takes a different approach.
Since we are open to everybody, we have people coming in who have had bad experience and then people who have had no experience with the banking system, mainstream banking. But a lot of people will use it to get back up on their feet.
Meredith Spears has been banking with People's for 6 months. She's just finishing up her meeting with Eisner-Mix.
I looked at my credit report and I didn't cry, no need. And then she offered me many other services, one of which I'm using in terms of a fresh start loan where I can even build up the credit that I have. I can build it up even better. So it's been a good experience here.
Eisner Mix holds one-on-one credit review meetings every week and believes the difference the credit union is making is through their willingness to educate people about their finances.
Financial education is needed. It's not taught in public schools. It's not required curriculum. And so we want people to be able to know what the banking system is about, what all those terms mean, and to be comfortable to ask questions. Like, what's an interest rate? What's my effective APR? What's my refund versus my return? Things like that.
And this West Oakland Credit Union's been answering these questions since 2001, when community members came together to found Peoples. When they opened, they served a few hundred. Now they're 4,000 strong. And the more people learn about how the financial world works, and the more dissatisfied they become with big banks, credit unions are likely to see more people join in the future. For Cross Currents, I'm Missouri Colley.
Missouri Colley is a student reporter at Mills College in Oakland, where our series was produced. Do you know anybody who's recently moved their money out of a bank and into a credit union? Are you one of those people? You can share your story with us at our tip line. Just call 415-264-7106 and leave us a message. The number again is 415-264-7106. Or you can visit us on Facebook. We're KLW News. You're listening to Cross Currents from KLW News. I'm Holly Kernan. Our tour of Oakland continues, and this time in a meditative way. While hundreds of yoga studios exist all over the Bay Area, they usually cater to people who can afford the $15 to $20 it costs to take a class. But one man is trying to bring yoga to a very different population: senior citizens, incarcerated youth, homeless shelters, and inner-city high school students. Reporter Esther Honig has more.
It's a chilly Friday morning as students of the Niroga Center in Berkeley shuffle in from the busy street outside. This is a familiar Friday morning crowd. Friends catch up with one another as they lay down their yoga mats and get ready to begin their practice. Although this might seem like your typical yoga studio, you won't find yoga students like these just anywhere.
Oh, it's so good for the body.
Would you mind stating your age?
I'm 94.
And how often do you come to yoga?
Every week.
Carl Rubenthal is taking a class offered specifically to senior citizens. This is just one of the ways the Niroga Center is bringing yoga to people who would otherwise not have access to it, like Nancy Bailey.
I had recurring pain for like 2 years and was like doing physical therapy and everything, and nothing worked. And I came here in June, and amazingly, that pain went away. Now I have other pain, but you know, it's just amazing.
But there's also a nonprofit component to this center, the Niroga Institute. Here, yoga is extended beyond the walls of the studio and brought into Oakland classrooms.
When we first started the yoga class here, I really had maybe two or three consistent students. And the beginning of this year, the first day, we had over, I think we had 30 kids in this room. And so that's been a huge shift, and each year it's gotten a little bit more.
Annika Hansen has been teaching yoga at Oakland's Emilio Zapata Street Academy for the past 5 years. She says yoga can make school more engaging for students who might otherwise lose interest.
In individuals, I've had students who I didn't know this was going on, but who were only coming to school on the days when there was yoga, and had really taken to the practice, but maybe I couldn't even tell that it was the one thing that was kind of stabilizing them.
Many students at the Oakland Street Academy come from stressful and often violent living situations. Hansen says this affects students physically. It can make it difficult for them to focus in class and perform well in school.
Your blood actually leaves your brain and your heart, not completely, obviously, but the majority of it, and goes into your limbs to prepare you to be able to run or fight.
It's called the fight or flight reflex.
So obviously that's necessary, and it's something that is very old in human beings. But the dangerous part about it, too, is that people's bodies can't tell the difference between life-threatening stress and danger and everyday stresses. And then you get this middle ground with some of the kids here because they also are experiencing life-threatening stresses, or they're in communities where, you know, they hear gunshots or they have to be really hyper-aware walking down the street, so they can get kind of stuck.
Annika explains that yoga breathing techniques can relieve the chronic stress brought on by this fight-or-flight syndrome. With the help of yoga, students are able to relax and focus on themselves, which can help reduce violent behavior and encourage them to make better life choices.
Niroga decided to bring these transformative life skills into these settings, into schools and alternative schools and juvenile halls and homeless shelters and rehab centers and so on.
Meet Bijut Bose, founder of the Niroga Institute. He was born in Bengal, India, and began learning yoga as a toddler. He grew up practicing with his father, but as an adult, he moved from the Himalayan mountains to the foothills of Silicon Valley, where he worked as a software engineer.
I'm a computer scientist by training, and I could see the ravaging effects of chronic stress all around me. What it did to the health of my family and relationships, what it did to our overall productivity. And having grown up with yoga and meditation, I knew that there were better ways to deal with this.
And thus, the Niroga Institute was born. Bijut left the stress of Silicon Valley, and for the past 5 years has been working to promote yoga as much more than a fitness fad, but as a tool for social change.
What I dream about, what I imagine, is a community where most of us are living and breathing this practice, even as we're engaged in the world, practicing at each moment, with each step, with each breath, changing ourselves as we transform the world around us, being the change that we wish to see in the world.
And that's exactly where Niroga is headed. Besides its work in schools, Niroga has expanded into homeless shelters, halfway homes, and juvenile halls, places where Bijut believes change is needed the most. For Mills College, I'm Esther Honig.
Esther Honig is a reporter at Mills College in Oakland. Yoga's popularity in the Bay Area has mushroomed over the years. Has it affected your life, for good or for bad? You can let us know at klw.org. That's also where you can hear all of our stories and subscribe to our podcast. This is Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan. Colonial Donuts has been on Oakland's Lakeshore Avenue for more than 50 years. Although many other cafes used to stay open past 9 p.m., these days Colonial is one of the few 24-hour locales in Oakland. Maybe that's why it's kind of a hot spot. On any given weekend night, the place is packed. Local teenagers flock to Colonial for its freshly fried donuts, and groups of guys that wouldn't normally hang out together play competitive speed chess for hours on end. Reporter Lonnie Blumenfeld-Honey guides us through the sometimes strange happenings at Colonial Donuts on a recent Saturday night.
It's 10:30 p.m., and I'm sitting at a small table at Colonial Donuts with a few of my friends. They're here for moral support because this is my first radio piece, and I'm a little nervous. There's a man pacing back and forth, shaking his head and muttering to himself. A group of guys that were playing chess are now gathered just outside the main entrance, playing with a remote-controlled helicopter. As I try to muster up enough courage to go talk to people, a few excited teenage boys flock to my table.
So, my name is Max, I'm in Emily's Army, and this is Travis, he's from Emily's Army.
Yeah. Emily's Army is their band. These guys come here a lot.
At least twice a weekend. On the reg.
Right now it's about 11. Normally the fresh donuts are 11, 30, 12.
Yeah,
so
check
out
our band.
We're early tonight.
Emily's Army. We have a Twitter, we have a Facebook, we have a website. We are rock and roll stars. I have a website about me.
On MTV.
Max Becker and Travis Newman say that they've been coming to Colonial since as long as they can remember.
Everyone in their childhood loves donuts, right? So, like, since the beginning, since the beginning of time.
They ask me about my project. I tell them I go to Mills College and I'm doing a story for my public radio class.
Oh, awesome. So we're going to be on the radio.
So, if you've never been to Colonial Donuts, I should probably mention a lot of crazy stuff happens here. That's kind of what they're known for.
One time I was here later, like, probably 12:30 or 1, and people were playing chess, and one time the guy that lost a game of chess picked up the whole chessboard and threw the chessboard across the whole restaurant and stormed out of the room because he lost in the game of chess and he didn't think he was going to lose. We have to go. Thank you very much.
As Emily's army turns back to their maple bars and glazed donuts, an older man approaches my table.
My name is Edward Michael Lewis. I'm 43 years old, and I kind of screwed up my life a little bit. I am the 1997 California State Chess Champion, played in 2 U.S. Opens, and I am the strongest chess player at Colonial Donuts. And I'm an alcoholic. Have a great time and a great night.
Edward talks really fast and leaves abruptly, so I never get to ask him anything about Colonial. I also think he might have been drunk.
This is our third date. It's been 3 years.
That's Matt. He's here tonight with his girlfriend, Frances. What he means is they've been coming to Colonial once a year on the exact same day because that's when they had their first date here, 3 years ago. Matt and Frances like to come here at night.
Usually it's after one. Yeah, we're usually late, very late, but we got to get up early tomorrow, so we're here a little earlier. We did not expect such a large crowd. It's pretty exciting this evening.
When they first started dating, Matt and Frances were Colonial regulars.
There's a guy here who used to have, like, flies on his feet.
That's Frances.
It was really calloused, and we would see him a lot. It was our first few romantic dates. We'd look over, and there they were. He would have them up on a stool.
I started coming here in 1976, when I was 20 years old.
That's Mark. He's a painter who's here tonight with his friend Dave.
And I'm 56 now, so I've been coming here for, Jesus Christ, 35 years.
Mark says he started coming here when he moved to the Bay Area to join a band. Dave is an East Bay native. The two of them have been friends for many years. Mark says that as far as he knows, Colonial Donuts has always been open 24 hours. He also says the donuts have always been really good over the years.
They know how to make a donut. Somebody must have passed the magic Colonial formula.
Dave says nothing strange has ever happened to him here. He just sits and drinks his coffee and eats his donut. When I tell him that people say they see a lot of crazy stuff go down here, he just says,
"This is Oakland. This, you know, it's like crazy compared to what?"
Dave also tells me that he doesn't understand why there are always so many kids in here.
It's Colonial Donuts. Come on, don't you have something better to do than come here on a Saturday night?
But maybe we don't. Or maybe we have some sort of natural urge to congregate with strangers over sugar and caffeine in the wee hours of the night. Most would agree that the donuts at Colonial are nothing special. The coffee's pretty weak, the wallpaper is dirty and peeling, and the menu signs look like they haven't changed since the place opened in the 70s. But none of that really matters, because if you live in Oakland, you come to Colonial. Maybe there really isn't anywhere else to go. No matter which way you slice it, Colonial Donuts is Oakland's late-night hotspot. In Oakland, eating a damn fine glazed donut, I'm Lonnie Blumenfeld-Honey.
Is there a Bay Area hangout you want to share with us? Or some other pastry-related shenanigans you want to get off your chest? We're all ears. You can call us at 415-264-7106 and tell us your story. Just leave a message at 415-264-7106. We look forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Cross Currents from KLW News. The team includes Hana Baba, Julie Kane, Martina Castro, Jen Chien, Audrey Dilling, Julia Lundberg, Casey Miner, Nina Morente, Erica Mu, Rena Palta, Brian Pelletier, Seth Samuel, Stephen Short, and Judy Silber. Today's show was engineered by Chris Hoff. Ben Trefney is our executive editor. Cross Currents theme music is by Oakland's John Santos Quintet. And thanks to City Car Share, which provides an alternative transportation option for our reporters. City Car Share is on the web at citycarshare.org. And thanks to you. We are listener-supported radio. Tune into Cross Currents tomorrow at 5. We'll hear how one organization is fighting hunger in San Francisco.
The majority of the people here really rely on this pantry every Tuesday. And so I know that, I mean, it could get a little crazy sometimes because they think they're not going to get anything this week.
That's tomorrow at 5 on Cross Currents. It's not quite Mardi Gras yet, but you can get in the mood tomorrow night when Andre Theory and Zydeco Magic come to town. They're one of three bands on the bill at the Elbow Room in San Francisco. Music starts at about 9 p.m. To hear them and all of the local bands featured on our show, go to kalw.org. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly Kernan.